It's almost time. The Green Bay Packers travel to Washington for a game in the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. Coming off two consecutive losses, do the Packers stand a chance? We'll find out with Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a playoff game on Sunday in Washington in the wild card round of the playoffs. To do that, we have a guest joining us this morning. Joining us as he does the first Monday of every month, because the first Monday was New Year's Day this past week, we're getting this week instead.
Expert interview.
We got Scott McKenna, the Talkin' Smack blog, joining us. Scott, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us.
Happy New Year, Brian.
Yes, same to you. Let's preview this Packers playoff game. And we're going to do this by taking a unique approach. We're going to kind of look at the Packers injury report, and we're not just going to run down the injuries and who's got what, but rather take a look at it from the perspective of how different would the Packers be, or what would the impact be if all these players were healthy and they were in the lineup? And Scott, I think we could start on the offensive line here. You know, what is the difference going to be if David Bakhtiari can play? He's a guy who sat out last week against the Minnesota Vikings with the ankle injury, last 2 weeks, really. And not just him, because all five preferred starters on the offensive line, they're all listed on the injury report, albeit most of them have been kind of fighting through injury. But, I mean, what would the difference be if these guys were all in there and they'd be healthy?
You know, what's interesting is last year you could have made an argument that the Green Bay Packers had the best offensive line in football. And really the only team that I think held the torch were close to them were the Dallas Cowboys. And this year you've had, they're all such gutty, old-timer type football players, people that you feel could fit in the locker room with Lombardi and Starr and Horning and really played alongside Forrest Gregg. But they just haven't been the same team, and they haven't been in unison. And really, if you look at it, I really feel like one of the things that has been maybe not as thoroughly discussed as it needed to be. And Sitton, I thought, made a really good point on the his interview with Leroy Butler earlier in the week, where he said, you know, I'm going to play left tackle, and I'm not even blocking defensive linemen out there during practice, because we're banged up on the defensive side of the ball as well. I'm blocking offensive linemen, backup offensive linemen. So I think, you know, we're such a rhythm offense. We're such a team that depends on tempo. I just have a hard time believing that Mike McCarthy is able to put together a practice or formulate a practice that is high functioning and highly productive, and then additionally for the offensive line to work in unison and to have the camaraderie that we've seen and togetherness that we've seen out of them over the last couple of years. You know, that just doesn't happen on Sunday. That's a 7-day-a-week thing. You need to be able to get yourself in the classroom and then to apply what you're studying in the classroom on the field. And, you know, I think we've seen that through and through. Well, you know, all these guys are, and I give them such kudos and so much credit for stepping out there every Sunday, but they clearly haven't been themselves, and they haven't been the physical, forceful offensive line that, and to a man, that we've seen throughout. And, you know, I think starting with Bakhtiari is an anchor for, you know, the Green Bay Packers at left tackle, and maybe doesn't get enough credit as he deserves. And when he's gone against you know, again, some of the heaviest hitting pass rushers in the NFL this year, he's performed very, very well. And I think we talked, you know, right after the Hail Mary game where, you know, the one play he didn't play against Ansa got to the quarterback, right? But for the rest of the game, Bakhtiari was shutting him down. So, you know, having Bakhtiari against, you know, Preston Smith is a very underrated pass rusher, and Ryan Kerrigan is an elite pass rusher. I think it's very, very important because both of those guys are going to be pinning their ears back on third down and trying to get to the quarterback. And we certainly need to have our experience this week. We need to make sure that one of the things that I think can differentiate ourselves from the Redskins is the playoff factor. We've got the experience. They do not. And with that, you know, those five guys across the board have all tasted playoff experience, and four of them have done it on multiple years in a row. So, you know, we need those guys. We need them as healthy as possible. Hopefully they can be fit for Sunday.
Yeah, some of my thoughts on the offensive line, I wrote about this at 24/7 Sports yesterday. The Packers announced, or Mike McCarthy announced at Thursday, that Josh Sitton would be playing left guard, even though there's kind of some uncertainty whether Bakhtiari will still be ready or not. But I think the Packers made a pretty wise decision in making that decision now, like, and not waiting until, you know, 2 hours before game time like they did last week when they still were kind of trying to see if Bakhtiari could go, because the positive is that the Packers can, you know, prepare that way all week. Josh Sitton at least knows his responsibilities and knows the guys he'll be lining up across from at left guard. Even if Bakhtiari can't go, then J.C. Treader at least can prepare as if he'll be the left tackle. And if he has to play, okay. If he doesn't have to, great. Then David Bakhtiari will be healthy and be ready to go. So I think the Packers were really smart in that regard in terms of a preparation standpoint. And just to, you know, kind of take off from where you were talking about the Packers offensive line and how they were one of the best in the NFL last year. It's just interesting. Anytime we post anything about the NFL draft at 24/7 Sports or our Facebook page at 24/7 Sports, the commentary is always the Packers need offensive linemen. And I don't really think that's the case. If the offensive line, the five preferred starters are out there and healthy, I think the Packers are fine. Yeah, they need a backup tackle, but I don't think you go after that in the first round or anything like that. I mean, maybe if you got this huge stud who's going to be the Pro Bowl left tackle for the next 10 years, yeah, I suppose you grab him. But assuming that's not the case, you know, I don't think you go and grab that backup tackle in the first round just to sit behind David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga, because when those two guys are healthy, don't you think they're pretty good tackles in the NFL?
They're anchors. And, you know, I would fully agree with you. I mean, we got Bulaga locked up now for, what, 4 or 5 more years. And additionally, you get, you know, Bakhtiari is going to be a free agent, I believe, at the end of next year. It wouldn't surprise me if Bakhtiari is extended this year. And, you know, I would fully agree with you. I think that offensive lineman, I think we've even got a decent depth in the offensive line. You know, Lane Taylor has done a really nice job. Josh Walker is a...
Depth on the interior of the offensive line is great, is fine. Just need a tackle.
Yep. Need a tackle. Exactly.
All right. Let's talk about some other positions here. I think one of the other key players here whose status is kind of up in the air for Sunday is cornerback Sam Shields. So, Scott, what is the impact if Sam Shields can play on Sunday?
It's significant. We need Sammy this weekend. We need him bringing his swagger to the secondary. He's had a penchant for making huge plays in the playoffs for the Green Bay Packers. And he's done that since he first came in the league in the 2010 playoff push. He was crucial. And he's made a play nearly every year in the playoffs, it seems. Additionally, when you look at the matchups this week, you know, I love our rookie cornerbacks. I really like what they've done. They've impressed me. Been better than what I thought they would be, quite frankly. With that said, one of the weaknesses that they bring to the table, I think, is their ability to run on their outside. ability to get their hands on a wide receiver that's quicker, faster than them, and to get them to the sidelines or to throw them off the route. Well, if you're talking about wide receivers in the NFL that just run the straight fly pattern, who does it better than DeSean Jackson? And, you know, we need Sammy to be able to match up with him just from a speed perspective, I feel. And if Sammy's not playing, I'm really concerned as the, you know, how we're going to match up with him on a deep ball. And so it's going to be interesting to see what Capers draws up if Sammy's unable to play. And also what's really confusing to me is, you know, I was at the game where Sammy got hurt and against Dallas. And when it happened, I hate to put it this way, but it didn't look that like a severe concussion, right? Like when it happened, it kind of just like, I didn't even think he kind of got up and thought, oh, he'll be okay. And here we are, what, 3 or 4 weeks later, and we haven't seen him again. And, you know, that has me sort of scratching my head as to, you know, what really went on there. And I hope it's not more severe than what's being reported. So I'm concerned about it, most definitely. I think he's a crucial element to us being able to slow down what has been a very hot passing attack. Is I think if you put him on DeSean Jackson, and if he's ready and healthy to go, I think Sammy's going to perform real well in that battle.
Yeah, you bring up a good point with that concussion. It did not look all that bad, which is, I mean, you kind of understand if he's out one game, but he's now been out several games, and you just kind of scratch your head and wonder what is going on here. That's a really good point. Elsewhere on the defense, let's take a look at the defensive line and a few guys on the injury report. Mike Daniels and B.J. Raji, kind of at midseason, B.J. Raji suffered a groin injury. He's not in the injury report anymore, but it was at that point, right about the bye week or so, B.J. Raji hasn't been the same player. And I'll say the same about Mike Daniels with this hamstring injury. Maybe since he suffered that the past 3 weeks, he really hasn't been as good as he was earlier in the season. You know, what is the impact there, Scott? And will the Packers be better if these guys are 100%?
Absolutely, and you make a good point. And it seems where I think that there's been some wear and tear on their bodies. And if you look at when the Packers have played best defensively, it's when we've been able to rotate people in a wide number of players. And you know, you've seen Guyon on the injury report as well.
Yes.
And you know, I know that Mike Neal isn't listed as a defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. Well, he's oftentimes been on the injury report. And we've seen Perry on the injury report. And we've seen, you know, Jayron Elliott on the injury report. So this is like their entire defensive front, right? Like, so when you look at when we've played our best football, Capers had fresh legs consistently rotating, and we were punching defensive linemen. And what's been really interesting about Daniels is Daniels has come out as a ball of fire, I felt, over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, especially against Arizona, those first two possessions of the game, Daniels just dominated the line of scrimmage. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if it is the hamstring wears or if it or if he just loses juice, because, you know, the other piece of this puzzle is when you aren't practicing, I fancy that you have to lose a little endurance. And, you know, I can fully agree with you. You know, Raji had the groin injury and then the concussion, and he just hasn't been as physically dominant and as forceful as he was early in the year. And, you know, I think when Capers lacks the rotation that we've seen at various points of the season, there's definitely an impact. And you see it on the early down push, you know, I don't have stats to back this up, but it just seems as though on first and second down, as games have worn on or gone along, the holes are opening up a little bit bigger. The pass rush isn't coming as fast as it had earlier in the year, when we really had a dominant pass rush. And so we need these guys healthy, and I guess it furthers my points earlier is, you know, how does Mike McCarthy and run an effective practice right now? I don't know how you can do it with as many people as you have 18 players on the injury report and that are limited, right? Like limited or not practicing. So then you're down to 35 players that you're playing with, and three of those guys are quarterbacks. Well, how are you going to run a practice? It's not.
And three more specialists.
Three more. Good point. Three more specialists. I mean, this is different than just sticking Sterling Sharp out there in 1992 or 93 when he was playing with a turf toe and, you know, he and Favre just had a unique connection then, right? This is different. This is, we're trying to put people, we're trying to build some unison and togetherness. And, you know, I would just imagine that when you look at the linemen that have been so banged up, so much of that position is technique. And I don't care how experienced you are. If you're not practicing, you know, hand placement and leverage and all those little things that really define what wins a one-on-one battle when you're going nose-to-nose and toes-to-toes against a guy who's 300 to 330 pounds and he is practicing all week, I would think that you're going to miss your target point and on Sunday then. And I think that that's just human nature as we become, you know, a product of being able to be consistent with your motion and your technique, and that all starts with practice. And we need these guys healthy, and we need them desperately. And let's hope that there's a magic wand, their potion that can be spread throughout Lambeau Field before they take flight.
My last question kind of started with the defensive line, and it kind of worked its way around. But if I come back for a moment here to another player, Dayton Jones suffered a neck injury in the last game against the Vikings, didn't return. Mike McCarthy said he was out of town. That was the quote, out of town, meaning basically Dayton Jones was seeing a specialist this week, which I don't think really bodes well for him playing this game or perhaps the rest of the season. Doesn't look like it's going to be like a career ender or anything, as you sometimes worry with neck injuries. But Scott, what's the concern level with Dayton Jones, considering he's kind of the guy who took on a new role this year?
Yeah, you know, he's when he's flashed, he's played very, very, very well. A little bit inconsistent, but, you know, one of the things he's brought is he's really brought great run support. I think underappreciated run support on the edge and really extending his arms and extending plays when things have been run to his side on the outside. I thought he's really extended his arms well and, you know, hasn't let the cutback occur there, which is really one of the things that Washington will try to target is they're going to look for that cutback run. And we've been vulnerable, you know, with that type of run throughout most of the season. So I think we miss him there. Additionally, he's added some value as a pass rusher on occasion this year, inconsistently, but when we've seen him, there's been times that he's gotten a push and he's made some plays. And, you know, even he turned back to the first Minnesota game, he was quite dominant. And his injury, too, would happen. It kind of looked like it happened on a hit maybe after the play where he was sort of, you know, going and bringing the contact, it looked like. And it almost, like, surprised him when he got hit. I thought it was maybe more of a stinger or a shoulder injury. But when it happened, so that one, too, kind of confused me that it's lingering like it has, because when it happened, it looked like it was one of those injuries that could be super severe. But whenever you hear McCarthy give the quote, you know, I'm, or he's out of town, unquote, you know, I think you can read between the lines and see what's going on there, maybe. You know, hopefully it doesn't look like he'll be available, but hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, because I think next year, we can certainly talk about this in future episodes, but, I mean, just take a look at some of the guys who may not be around from next year, that defensive end, elephant end position. I don't know how to read too much into it right now, but I could see the Packers parting ways with Julius Peppers in the offseason. Mike Neal is a free agent. Nick Perry's a free agent. Dayton Jones, who hasn't started a game yet this season, he could play a huge, huge role next year, assuming he's healthy.
There's no doubt that Ted Thompson is going to have a wide variety of interesting decisions across the whole roster this year that I'm sure we'll be getting into the next episode.
Yeah, that'll be interesting for sure. Scott, a few things on special teams. Jaron Elliott, who plays more snaps on special teams than anybody, or at least he was when he was healthy, he's missed the past two games. And another guy who's missed the past few, Justin Perillo, who, if you kind of bear with me here, Justin Perillo doesn't play a lot on special teams, But guess what? His absence as a tight end opened the door last week for Kenard Backman to play. He played on special teams on the punt return unit. And, of course, we saw he got exposed on that fake punt last week. What's the impact of not having these two kind of under-the-radar guys, Perillo and Elliott?
You know, in Elliott especially on special teams, he's a core player for us on special teams. And he makes plays and he brings good lengths and he's slippery getting downfield in the return game. And he seems like he's a smart player in that unit. And, you know, you start saying, well, if we had Elliott and Banjo and Janice and Dimitri Goodson, well, and Rutkowski, well, we got a number of players here that just make plays on special teams and they make tackles, right? So ultimately you can win that third unit, and not having Elliott, I think, is it's a big thing, a big deal when you're trying to tackle. I don't know if it's going to be DeSean Jackson returning punts, but Lord knows we've seen him make big plays before returning punts. And we need to make sure that we're winning the field position battle this Sunday. You know, that's one of the biggest points about going into a hostile environment, especially on the road in the playoffs, is field position is an important discussion. And having Elliott's presence on special teams and as a pass rusher, I might add, I think is important. Additionally, with Perillo, not just on special teams, but I'd like to drop this in on Perillo. Aaron Rodgers needs safety valves. He needs somebody that can just run a little curl route 6 yards deep off the line of scrimmage and sit down in the hole. And Perillo seems to do that pretty well. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I was talking to my brother, and I was just like, you know, what's unique about watching these three tight ends that we have on the field, and I was saying this last Sunday, it almost makes you yearn for not just a Mark Chmura, but what about a Jeff Thomason? Well, we kind of have that in Perillo, right? Like, I just want somebody who can sit down 6 to 8 yards downfield, get across the yard marker, and move the sticks. And we haven't had that. Instead, we're throwing balls to the flat to Richard Rodgers, who just doesn't make people miss. And, you know, Perillo and Aaron Rodgers seem to have like a little bit of a connection there for a couple of games. And we could use him right now. I was hoping that, you know, that when Corliss came back, that he might add a little bit of that togetherness from quarterback to tight end, you know, down the field, as we saw some of that last year. And thought, you know, we might get a little bit of that when Corliss came back, and maybe he's knocking off the cobwebs or the rust or what it is, but we haven't seen much of it yet, and I'm hopeful that we do this week, because I think you can beat, the Redskins down the middle of the field.
As we kind of get into a game preview here, I'm going to ask your prediction in a moment, but kind of one last injury question, and it's not even a guy who's technically on the injury report, but Scott, I want to know about Aaron Rodgers and your thoughts on him, because he seems to take a little hit almost every other week that, you know, kind of affects him. I think it was the Raiders game in which that was the game his hand kind of went numb. And then I think it was the Lions. I can't remember what a game where he got hit low on his foot and it kind of looked like he was limping a little bit. Do you think these have affected him at all? Because obviously a lot of attention on Aaron Rodgers lately.
We've seen Rodgers grimace a lot this year. Mm-hmm. And we've seen his face just hasn't looked the same. He's always had this cool surfer boy wave to his face and his smile and his charisma on the field to be a body language reader, if you will. But I don't know how much weight you can put into that. But something has just been off, and I don't know if it's the injuries or maybe it's what we were talking about earlier about not being able to practice, put together a full practice with the team, but you know, he just hasn't been himself, and you got to wonder if these hits that he's taken are making an impact. But you know, I just point to that 4th and 5 ball down the sidelines last week to Jones, where Jones clearly had a step on more than a step on Xavier Rhodes, and that's a touchdown in years past, but this year. And it just wasn't one game or one throw. This year, that play has just been missed. And, you know, since we've seen him come on to Really, I guess you could point back to the Cowboy game in 2007. Aaron Rodgers hasn't missed that throw. So there's something there that just rhythmically or vibrantly isn't the same that we've grown so accustomed to knowing and loving out of our MVP two-time MVP quarterback. And maybe it's the hits and the pain and the nicks and the bruises, and they're all adding up in a combination of things. He's tough as nails, man, tough as nails, and he stands in there, and he's not afraid to take a hit, almost too willingly sometimes for my eye. But, something is not right, and you got to wonder if all these sacks and these hits have taken a little bit of a toll on him.
As we look at the game here, Scott, can I get a prediction from you and how Aaron Rodgers is going to play?
You know, if the Green Bay Packers are going to make a run in the playoffs, first and foremost, they're going to need those five offensive linemen playing and healthy and really showing some of the spark that they brought last year. And additionally, they're going to need Aaron. This team is built for Aaron Rodgers to be an MVP. And Aaron Rodgers needs to be the MVP of the NFL. And if he's not, it could be a 38-20 type loss. It's I'm a glass half full kind of guy, and always have been, and I hope to always be. And I don't believe that living in the doldrums is a good way to wake up in the morning. So I'm believing that Aaron Rodgers comes out, and I've been saying this for a while. He's going to have one of those MVP performances where one of those 28 for 35 for, type days where he throws for 320 yards and three TDs and silences all the critics. And I think, one of the areas of weakness is the Washington, the Washington secondary. They can be beaten. D'Angelo Hall's long in the tooth. And I think that he can be beat on a double move, and he's going to use his hands, and we might see some free plays that lead to some good things. And, we haven't seen that over the. We haven't seen a big playoff of a free play in a couple of weeks here. So I'm thinking that we're going to be able to move the football. And the other thing that we really got to watch out for on the defensive side of the ball is if we're healthy and we're physical, I think you can beat up the Washington offensive line. And when they've been beat this year, it's largely because you've been able to get in Cousins' face, and when you get in Cousins' face, you'll occasionally make a turnover, or throw a pick. And I'd love to see Peppers and Matthews lining right next to each other. I've liked when they've put Clay on the outside on third downs and had Peppers collapse the pocket and Matthews come stunt in. Love to see him stunt into the inside, because if you can get Cousins off his spot, he's still talented, but he's not nearly the guy that we've seen over maybe the second half of the season. And as long as we don't get exposed in the screen game, especially when Matt Jones steps out on the field. Matt Jones is, when he's on the field, the ball's going to him. I think he averaged 16 yards a reception this year for a running back. That's ridiculous. And caught 19 passes, I believe, as well as what I saw. So we're stopping the screen game, watching the cutback runs, especially when they're running right, that cutback from Albert Morris can be a painful blow for us. So, I think we win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. I really think our MVP quarterback has a big game. And, I'd say something along the lines of a 27-23 victory, and it'll be nice to be able to move on, whether it is to Carolina or Arizona, and let's hope for a big playoff run.
Sounds good to me. Scott, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the game. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next month. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a Super Bowl, but we'll get to that point. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Go Pack, go, Brian.
Sounds good. Take care.
You're right.
Scott McKenna, the Talkin' Smack blog, joining us on a Friday morning here at Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
I recapped already kind of some of the big stories coming out of the past 24 hours. The Packers already making the decision with Josh Sitton at left guard. Kind of the news that, nobody's really said anything definitive, but we had word from Mike McCarthy that Dayton Jones saw basically a specialist, and not saying that in so many words, but inferring it. For his neck injury, which doesn't look good for his status this weekend or the rest of the season, I would say, for this matter. And so I just wanted to, as far as news goes, and I'll get to my own prediction here in a moment, just wanted to bring your attention to one thing. Somewhere else I saw in the media, Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette wrote an article published, I think it was actually published this morning, Friday morning, an article in which he talked to both Packers head coach Mike McCarthy and quarterback Aaron Rodgers, exclusive interviews. So these were not, you know, things that happen at press conferences that the rest of the media saw or anything, or you saw streaming online, basically asking them about their, you know, what Scott and I just talked about, and Scott in particular talking about how Rodgers looks, you know, just not so much the injuries, but the dissatisfaction, I guess you could say, on the sidelines, in which he looks some of the times at odds with Mike McCarthy. You know, there was especially an exchange earlier in the season, I think it was at San Francisco, where they kind of, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, yelled at him or something like that. And not just that, but, you know, just Rodgers looks frustrated more than ever throughout any point in his career. And fans have noticed this. I mean, all you got to do is watch a game and you see these kind of things. And so they both agreed to address this. So this article kind of goes through some of their thoughts. And you know, Mike McCarthy, I thought the takeaway from his, you know, from what he had to say, he says, quote, conflict is good. And I do think he's right from that aspect. You don't, you know, it's great if you're 16-0 and everything's going hunky-dory and there's not a whole lot of conflict there. But, you don't want, if you're Mike McCarthy, you don't want yes men under you. You don't want that all the time. You want people, and I'm not just talking as assistant coaches, but Aaron Rodgers as well, who you think probably has more input on the offense than any other player on the roster. You want them to disagree for, and you know, that not one person is not always going to know the right decision, the right choice, or the place to call, or things like that. You want them to be frustrated once in a while, and hopefully most of the conflict you would hope would be taking place during the week of practice in which they try to hammer out a game plan and which play calls they like and things like that. You'd like to see a little bit less during the game days. But I agree that conflict is good from that aspect, in that you know, not one person is always right. And you hopefully have a healthy exchange and try to figure things out. And, it, you know, from Aaron Rodgers' perspective, I mean, if I were Aaron Rodgers, wouldn't I be frustrated? If you were Aaron Rodgers, wouldn't you be frustrated? I mean, look at what's happened. Not only just him, but those around him. When you sit there and you're looking at players who are, you know, not doing their job, or, you know, not doing it as well as they could be, yeah, I'd be ticked off too, and be probably showing some frustration with my facial expression. So I understand that, and, you know, I think they're trying to get through this about as good as possible when you have the, whatever it is, 25th, 26th ranked passing offense in the NFL. I mean, that's just unheard of for a Packers team under Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they're just consistently, you know, for 8 years or whatever, Aaron Rodgers has been the starter now. This is his eighth season as a starter, I believe. You know, top 10 consistently every year, year in, year out, one of the top scoring offenses, one of the top total offenses, one of the top passing offenses. It almost became a given. I thought they would be able to do it this year even without Jordy Nelson. Didn't turn out to be that way, but I'd be frustrated too. So go ahead, read that article at the Green Bay Press Gazette. I encourage you to do so. There's some good content there. And I think you'll like it. But okay, so Getting to the game and my prediction, I thought it was interesting when Scott said his prediction was Packers 27-23. My prediction, I wrote this down before the game here because I give a prediction every game. And by the way, I am on this show is when I give my prediction every week. I am 13-3 straight up predicting Packers games on the season on this show. I would say that's pretty good. Even straight up, not against the spread, but straight up. I thought it was interesting because I put Packers 27-24, and so I do think a Packers win. Here are a few keys to the game that I think is going to be interesting. I think the Packers are going to find it difficult to deal with Washington's receivers. I Scott talked at length about DeSean Jackson, not just him, but the young tight end there at Washington is really good, and now they got several good wide receivers, young ones like Jamison Crowder there, Pierre Garçon, who's not young, but he's been around for a while. But these guys are good. But I think it's a good thing also as well. The Packers have the number 6 pass defense in the NFL. If there's one thing they do pretty well, this team, that might be the number one thing, is defending the pass. They tend to, limit the damage, if nothing else, and for the past several weeks been doing it without Sam Shields. And I think they, definitely the future is very bright in the secondary. I think it's a better secondary with Sam Shields in there, but Demaryius Randall, Quentin Rollins, Casey Hayward, those guys especially, I think, do pretty good with HaHa Clint Dix and Morgan Burnett chipping in the back end, albeit they probably are better in run support than they are against the pass, but still, they're not certainly chopped liver back there. So I think the Packers are pretty equipped to handle Washington as it stands, and, I think Green Bay is very likely to bring a lot of pressure on Cousins because Scott mentioned it. Nathan Yonke in our last episode of Railbird Central pointed it out, how, once Kirk Cousins is under pressure, like so many quarterbacks in the NFL, that passer rating goes down. They make poor decisions. I think you're going to see the Packers blitzing quite a bit, bringing that extra pass rusher. Clay Matthews blitzing up the gut like we've seen so often this season. I think that's going to happen a lot, but not just that, he'll be coming from different angles and different players as well. Hopefully the Packers get some pressure on Kirk Cousins and force him into mistakes. And some of those young guys in the secondary can capitalize. Would love to see Demaryius Randall or Quentin Rollins get a nice interception this game. Each of them, for that fact. On the other side of the football, you worry about the Packers' passing game because it's struggled all year. And I actually like, Washington's safeties, DeSean Goldson and D'Angelo Hall. I think that Aaron Rodgers, especially with Goldson, he can deal with safeties. It's the cornerbacks that have been up in the face of the receivers all year. And when you got guys like Hall, and I think it's Bashaun Breeland as the other cornerback there in Washington, that Aaron Rodgers can capitalize on those guys. It's the cornerbacks he struggled this year. And I think Washington's cornerbacks are not quite up to snuff, not quite up to par, don't quite have the speed. And these Packers receivers will be able to find a little bit more running room, so to speak. I know they're not running backs, able to get separation better than they have in weeks. So that's why I think the Packers offense can have success this game to the tune of 27 points, which is good. I mean, that's 27 points, that's 5 scoring opportunities. That's 3 touchdowns and 2 field goals. And I think that's better than what the Packers have been doing on average. So I think you get that out of them, and you just hope the Packers defense can limit the damage and the Packers come away with the victory on Sunday. Next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday, I think what you're looking at today is the teams injury report being released, and a couple players in particular, and I know we talked about a lot of the injuries already, but, you know, today's the day where they come out with the injury report. That includes the status projections, probable, questionable, doubtful, or out. And in particular, you're really interested in a few guys. You know, what is the status of David Bakhtiari, Sam Shields, Dayton Jones, Jayrone Elliott, Justin Perrillo, you know, guys we talked about already. But, you know, are they going to be probable? Are they going to be questionable? This is the day we find that out. So that'll be released Friday afternoon. I think that's the thing everybody's waiting for to see. You know, finally, will David Bakhtiari be able to be back at left tackle and keep a clean pocket? And will Sam Shields be back in the secondary and provide, you know, some depth at the cornerback position? So we'll see later today. That's what you're looking forward to. And head coach Mike McCarthy's interview starting shortly here, and that's why I'm going to have to sign off. Mike McCarthy's press conference starts at 9:30 a.m. Central Time, streaming live at Packers.com. See what he has to say in the final press conference before Sunday's wild card playoff game at Washington. Enjoy the game, folks. Hopefully, we are recapping a Packers victory on Monday. In fact, I can't confirm it quite yet, but I will have what I'm hoping for, a former NFL player recapping the game with us on Monday's show. So stay tuned. We'll unveil it on Monday. So, we'll talk to you later, folks. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game. My call to action, as always, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. One small thing we ask, the show's free subscription, free of charge, no subscription or paywall. And we'd really appreciate it if you do that. So we'll see you, folks. Have a good weekend. As I've said five times now, as I look for our music to play out here, is why I'm kind of stalling. Here you go. Hard Livin' by Railroader on Psy Fidelity Records. Go, Pack, go.